because I didn't see anybody going to sleep this morning in church. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't some, and going to church is, and going to sleep during Sunday morning service is not an unusual thing. They say that if you take any Sunday and take everybody that goes to sleep during service and you lay them down head to toe, that they'd be much more comfortable. But I do have a bone to pick with y'all, and even those who watch our services online, and I got a lot of response from one word I used this morning, and that was the word chimney. And I know some of you were punching each other. What's he saying? And I know I've got a lot of school teachers. And of course, I know how you pronounce it. It's chimney. But how do you know you were right and I was wrong? Is it because that everybody else says chimney? And your school teacher taught you that you spell it with an N instead of a D in the middle of it? But I got news for you. You got to be careful, because the actual fact is that the original from Old English, and if you go back to find out how we just sort of twisted and changed it over the years, the original word is chimney. So I was right and you was wrong. But the truth is that was more Webster County coming out in me than anything else, than not just the But I love our time together. And I love what we're talking about and studying about heaven. How do I get to heaven? Because that's where we headed, and that's where, when we finish the book of Revelation, we're going to be in that city. We're going to be, well, I hope we physically might be there, but we're also going to be, if we're not physically there, we are going to learn about what that city is like. And I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. And that's why we're talking about, what does it take to get there? And this morning we talked about salvation, and the process of salvation is that, first of all, there is repentance. And we talked about that word, that it's not a word that we need to ignore and leave, but it's a word that we need to understand and be a part of our language. Tonight I want to talk about the second aspect of that, and then we want to talk about hindrances too, being saved, and for continuation, because I want to tell you, I'm looking forward to the day that I see my Savior, and I believe He's coming soon. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him. Would you notice that at the end of that word, believes, not believe? You say, preacher, what's the difference in believe and believing? Or believed with a D. And it has an S on it. Because if you were to come up on an accident when someone has been hurt in a car wreck, and you were there and folks starting to come around, you could say this one way or the other, He breathed. That doesn't have too much positiveness to it, breathed. But if you say He's breathing, it makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? And saying believed and saying believes. In other words, that there is a continuation that is not just a one-time believe, but there is a process of continuing. It's not a past tense. But I want to say something in conclusion about repentance, as we were talking about this morning, because there was one thing that I did not have time to complete. And I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 26. Beginning with verse 19. 26 and 19. Listen to what is written. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those at Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the regions of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. That along with repentance, there is the necessity of continuing, of showing that you have repented. And believing is one of these elements. And there are five elements of believing faith. Now, there's all different types of faith that's talked about in the scripture. The faith that Jude talked about in various places in the New Testament, you'll find that word, the faith. But I want to talk about saving faith. The faith that brings salvation. There are five elements in faith, in saving faith. And I won't take much time with that tonight because I want to get to the all of this, of the hindrances of being saved and going forward for God. But the five elements, number one, is historical. You see, we don't just believe in something that has no foundation to it. Because if we were going to court, and I heard someone say one time that because of the evidence that's there, number one, so many eyewitnesses, and then because of the circumstantial evidence that there would be if it was taken to a courtroom, that there would not be a court in the world that would not find the truth that Jesus is alive. That Jesus rose from the dead. And I want to tell you that that's the basis of where we find our first belief in accepting him and being saved. It's because, number one, there are three facts: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And thank God I could add to this, he will never die again. And the second element of the five elements of faith in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is personal. Because when you believe in him personally, not just because everyone is saying it, but you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a difference between, you see, if I stood up here tonight and I were to look over this congregation and I would say to you, do you believe I exist? And I would have 100% of you that would declare, yeah, we believe you exist, we see you. But if I would ask you, do you believe in me? Then the hands may not be as many, may not be any, that would be raised to say, we believe in you. And I could say to you, if someone did raise their hand, do you really believe in me? Do you believe in me? Would you let me hold your money for you? Would you let me go on your bank account? Would you give me the keys to your car and the keys to your house? Do you believe in me? There's a lot of difference than just believing someone is and believing in them. And to be saved, saving faith, is not just believing there is a Jesus, but believing in him and putting your life in his hands to say, I trust you. I trust my future. I trust my eternity in you, Jesus. And that is personal faith that comes and must be a part of the saving faith to receive Christ. The third is verbal faith, which means that if you've got faith, then you've got to, you speak it out. That's why there's so much about confessing Jesus. You see, sometimes we make the mistake of trying to get people when they come forward to be saved or receive Christ, that we talk as if though he is off somewhere. But we've got to believe that he is ever present with us so that when we come to him, we talk to him. We don't just talk and make statements, but we talk. And that's why when you come up, if someone comes, and Matthew came the other day and wanted to receive Christ as his Savior, I prayed for Matthew and I spoke to him about receiving Christ. And then I said to him, pray to him. I wasn't going to put words in his mouth. I wasn't going to say, repeat this after me. I want him to know that Jesus is here. He doesn't have to have something. He can just talk to him himself. And if you don't have the faith to believe that he's close enough that you can talk to him, you don't have enough faith to be saved. He's not off somewhere. Talk to him. Faith will speak with Jesus. And it will, you will speak to him as if though you were expecting him to respond to what you say to him. If you don't believe that work, try it. Because if you will ever get to that point of understanding that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world. He's there. Talk to him. In the midnight hour, talk to him. Don't make a prayer as if though you're sending it off to heaven or sending it off into the atmosphere or trying to get it through the ceiling. And some of you know what the feeling is to say, and I've heard it said behind pulpits, I prayed, but my prayer didn't seem to get beyond the ceiling. But it doesn't, shouldn't go beyond the ceiling. Because when we have faith in him, we believe he's with us, and I can talk to him. And that means I can talk to him. I can ask him things. And I guarantee you, if you get in the habit of doing that, you will get in the habit of understanding and recognizing his presence with you. That's saving faith. Is to be able to talk to him, and then the saving faith will give you verbal words to say to others about him. Because if you've got faith in Jesus and you've received him as Lord and Savior, you're going to tell others about him. And that's why that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart. That's the two elements of the faith. Is it the faith of the heart will speak to the mouth? Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? And then number four, it's practical faith. In other words, faith that comes by that comes through salvation is the fact that when you have made the decision that you're going to recognize that Jesus loved you and died for you, and you receive him as Savior and as Lord, it will change the life that you live to practical living for him. You'll do something. You see, some people are confused when they read Paul's writing that says that we're justified by faith alone. But then they read James, the brother of Jesus, and his gospel says that faith without works is dead. And that faith alone, because works go hand in hand with faith. And you say, well, which one was right? Both. Amen? Because faith, we're justified by faith, by believing. But when we have been justified by faith, it will create a new creature which has the all-important desire to do for Jesus, to live for him, to serve him, to be with him. All of this is a part of the number five. As we've already talked about, not necessarily continue it. But number five element of the saving faith is that you will continue in it. It's not just something you did in the past. It is something that it's ever processing with you. I was saved. I know the day I walked down the little country church and I received Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. And from that point on, I began a journey. And that journey hasn't stopped. My salvation is ever a part of my every existence. I'm being saved daily by the grace and power of God, that God leads me, guides me. There comes a day that I know, I may be getting older, and you may be getting older, and our bodies may be wearing out, but there's coming a day when the completion of the salvation of us will be whenever our bodies will be redeemed. Our bodies will be, as our souls have been redeemed, our bodies are going to be redeemed. That's part of the salvation. I know that as Job said, those skin worms destroy this body, yet in my eyes, in my flesh, I'm going to see God. I know regardless of what happens to my future belongs to Him. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, I'll say praise God anyway if nobody else will. I'm telling you what I feel right now. I feel that little man doing the flip-flops in the backyard of my soul. Mark chapter 13. Verse number 13 says, "You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." There is that element of continuing that work of salvation. Now listen to me. Don't go running on me. I'm just going to give you the word of God. Amen? Because all of it is repentance. It's finishing. We've got to finish by faith. We've got to find finishing faithfully, because James 1 and 12 says there's a crown of life for those who finish faithfully. I don't want to just start out with Him. I don't want to just sit down on Him. When I've crossed that finish line, I want to be going with every bit of the energy and strength I've got. I want to serve God up until my last breath. I've got a goal that if Jesus doesn't return in my lifetime, and I believe He is, but I wouldn't mind crossing over to the other side the way my little old grandmother did up in Webster County. Because she walked miles to church every time the doors opened, didn't matter the weather, because her husband at that time was, man, he wasn't lost, he was bad lost. He was so lost that the lost was bad, was lost. And he would do everything he could, but she'd walk that gravel road to that little church. And on that, she was faithful to keep serving God. It wasn't hardly a member of her family even saved at that time, but she kept on. She was faithful to serve God, knowing the outcome of the future was in God's hand. It happened to be on that Wednesday night in that little country church. They asked her to come and to lead the testimony service. Now, y'all don't know anything about testimony services, but that's when everybody preaches. But they all asked her to come up and lead the testimony service, and she was standing behind the pulpit talking about the goodness and the mercies of Jesus, when suddenly she stepped from this life over to the other life, standing behind the pulpit, went to meet Jesus. My, my, my. You know what? I don't know a better spot in the world to go home than from behind the pulpit. Being faithful to the call of God. Being faithful to the finish. Don't just start out. Get faster. Move harder. Believe with all your heart. It doesn't get worse. It doesn't get boring. It gets more exciting every day of my life. I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and to see what God's got planned. I'm telling you, this old world thinks that they're in control, and those in Washington think they're in control. I'm going to tell you, one who sits on the throne high above all of them, and he knows the future, and he holds my hand, and he holds our life. Amen. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Come on, somebody. Can you say amen with me?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you some things that will try to stop you from moving forward. Because I guarantee you, every one of us, you see, when you have that faith and receive Christ and you are saved, the devil's going to do everything he can to stop you. Because he's going to bring obstacles in your way. He's going to do everything to bring out. I want to talk about some of them right now for just a moment. Number one, he's going to bring persecution. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, the one on whose seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. He falls away. The second obstacle that you're going to face in your walk with God and you're walking in with your salvation is the devil's going to try to bring the cares of this world. And the Bible says, Matthew 13, 22, and the one in whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And so there is the obstacle of the cares of this world. Listen to me, church. You need to shrug off some things that keep on choking you, because you get too bogged down in worrying about things that has no life in them themselves, but is only designed to destroy you and to stop your progress with God. Don't let it happen. And the third, the Bible says, the allurement of wealth. In the 22nd verse, and the one of whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And so we have that. And then we have the obstacles, first of all, of persecution, of cares, of allurement of wealth. And then number four is personal sin. How many of you know it doesn't matter whether you're walking with God or not, the devil continually, he don't forget your sins. And he will bring them up. This is an area as a pastor that we deal with probably more than any other, is because of this discouragement of the heart because of past sins. But I want to tell you something. I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood that was spilled. And I want to tell you something. If it saved me in my past, it will cleanse me in my present. All I've got to do is to confess my sins, turn from them, repent of my sins, and believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, and there won't be a spot left anywhere. And though the devil might try to bring you to court and say, did you not do this? The one that stands as your advocate will be Jesus himself, who will rise to the occasion and say, I find no fault because I have taken the sin and the penalty of that sin upon myself, and this child is forgiven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God in this house. Woo! Not only personal sins, but also bad influences. I want to tell you something. It comes necessary if you're going to serve God. One of the things you need to check around is those you are hanging out with. Come on now. The reason why more people go back is because they want to serve God, but they want to stay with the same crowd that they stayed with before. Bad influence will pull you back down into that same place, that same pit. You've got to make a decision. I can't do that. I can't go that way. And so we, in the closing of this message, what does it take to remain faithful and to go to heaven? What does it take? Number one, it takes a firm foundation, our decision. It is that you have got to make up your mind that you've made up your mind. Come on now. You can't keep going back and forth. You've got to decide that you've decided. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided wherever I go and whatever it is, there's one thing I won't let loose of. And that's the fact I made a decision and I'm not going to turn back. It don't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how rough it gets. It doesn't matter how deep those ruts that I have to walk through and the mud that I might have to go through and the endurance of the things I have to endure. But one thing is made up. My mind's made up. I'm going to walk on for Jesus. I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Amen? A firm foundation. But you can't be faithful until the end if you are continually questioning or renegotiating your decision to follow Christ. Make up your mind. Number two, a reality check. After you've made this decision to follow God, you're going to need a reality check because your old life's going to show up. Amen? I heard a young man giving his testimony not long ago, and he was talking about when he got saved and how God changed him. And man, he tried everything he could to just, you know, live the way he knew that he was having a hard time of it because of his old life. So one day he literally, and he was young, he was not married, and this is his testimony. He said, "I just made up my mind. I'm going to move cross country." He literally picked up, moved all the way across country and moved in a little where a group of guys were where you could get rent real cheap, and he was going to get him a job. He's going to reestablish himself. He said it wasn't a week later, he got a package in the mail, and one of his old buddies sent him a quarter pound of pure hash. Now, That may be a different hash than what you're thinking about, but it was the bad stuff. And he said, "I stood there thinking, I can't get away from my old life. Here it is." And in his testimony, he said, "I guess you want to know what I did with it." He said, "I wasn't completely out of the woods yet." He said, "I didn't destroy it. I sent it to a friend of mine I knew that still was using it." So. But your old life's going to keep on coming. It's going to keep on showing up. And it's going to keep on trying to make room because, listen to me, you've got to make sure. The Bible talks about if a house is cleaned out and those old demons are cast out and those influences, and they are spirits. They are spirits, will move, will be cast out, and the house is clean, and they come back because they're restless, and they'll come back and to see if it's still available and see if you still got room for them and see if you still got an open house and see if you still got clean rooms. And they'll go get seven worse, and they'll move back in, and the latter end will be worse than the beginning. You got to fill up your life with the power of the Holy Ghost. You've got to get the Spirit of God in you. You've got to decide that where the devil has moved out, I got to have another spirit in me. Or your old life will keep on showing up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now I know y'all probably too good to know anything about this old life. But after you follow Jesus, your old life shows up, or something or someone comes between you and the church This is the other obstacle, is that pretty soon I heard in a conversation, I was sitting in a restaurant and heard a conversation and I heard someone talking, they were talking about their church. And I heard someone say, you know, and they talked about what that pastor of their church did and horrible thing that he committed, some terrible sins. He said, and I heard him say, I'll never go back to church. That did it for me. But you know what? Preachers fail. Sunday school teachers fail. People will offend you. They may not even know they're doing it. People will do things and say things to you, and the devil's job, if that person is not trying to destroy you, but the devil is. And he'll use what they say to discourage you and to get you to turn back and to quit following God. And you can't let those obstacles, because those of your own house can affect you. Those in your own personal life. And then last, doubts because of personal failures. Personal failures. Hey, look at me. I want to tell you something. You may have made a decision to follow God, but I got news for you. You're going to fail. Amen? You're going to fail. You're going to sin. You're going to mess up. And it's not how many times you are down. It's how many times you get up. How often can I go to God and ask him to forgive me, preacher? How often, after a while, I just get embarrassed to go to God. Don't quit going. Because Jesus looked at his disciples one day and he said, how often should you forgive someone? And they said, well, according to law, about 7 times. Jesus said, no, 7 times 70 a day. And if he told us to do that with each other, I'm going to keep going back to the cross. Amen. If I fail tomorrow, there's still blood. And I am going to be sorry for what I did. Now, I'm not talking about if you've got this idea of I've got this deal in my life and I'm gonna sin because I can ask God to forgive me, and it doesn't matter how many times I do it because he's gonna forgive me and all this, and you have this attitude about sin. No, your heart ain't right. Come on now. But man, come on folks. Isn't it the truth that we seem to have 2 left feet when it comes to walking with God? And we keep on stumbling? Am I talking to anybody here tonight? Come on. It just seems like everything you do, but you got to trust God. And listen, you've got to trust him with your future. You've got to trust him with your past. You've got to put all your trust in him. Because the Bible said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? He's the author. He's the finisher. And I'm so glad he was there when I started. Hub, Jesus was right there when I started. And guess what? He's going to be there when I finish. For the word of God says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's my God. He was there in the beginning. He was there in the beginning, and he'll be there in the end. He's at the finish line. And he's saying, come on, you can make it. Come on, you can make it. Come on, get up. We are surrounded by a host of witnesses, according to Hebrews chapter 12, and we are surrounded by people that have already made it, and they're standing there saying, you can go one more day. You can go one more day. You see, because faith isn't far, you can't take faith and put it in the bank. You can't put it up and save it for a rainy day, because faith comes with every circumstance and every situation, so that every day you live, there's enough faith for that day. Get up, go again, get up, keep going. Don't fail. Just remember, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The journey is about trust. Oh, to trust Him. Oh, to trust Him. I conclude this message today. Everyone wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Amen. How many feels encouraged tonight? How many feels encouraged tonight? You feel like, I can make it today. I may not make it a week, but praise God, I'm going to make it today. And if the devil comes at me today, he got his hands full. I can't tell you about tomorrow, but I want to tell you right now, I know in whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Amen. What a God we serve. Let's just praise Him. Father, we thank You. We glorify You. Come on. Y'all get ready to sing. We glorify You. We praise You because Your word's true. We praise You because Your power is real. We praise You because that heaven and earth may pass away, but Your word will never pass away. And You are for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, the kingdoms of this world fall and the kingdoms of this world fail, but there is an everlasting, eternal kingdom that Jesus is the King. He's the Lord of Lords. He's Savior of all. He's the Savior of my soul. He dwells in me. He speaks through me. He lives with me. He guides my steps. He's the light before me. He's the power behind me. He is the presence that ever is around me. My God is alive. My God is real. My God is strong. And my God is for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.